Let's read together Leviticus chapter 1. In this first chapter of Leviticus, we have a description and details concerning the burnt offering, the first of five offerings in Israel's way of worship at the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill a bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. And he shall cut it into its pieces, with its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. The priest shall then bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out at the side of the altar. And he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes. Then he shall split it at its wings, but shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Let's begin our study of this first chapter of Leviticus with some background notes. Many Christians over the years have decided with good intentions to read through the Bible in a year's time, but many never finish the program. In fact, they get bogged down in Leviticus. The details of the offerings and feasts and clean and unclean foods in Leviticus become tedious and discouraging to many Christians reading through this book. As a result, some Christians skip the book of Leviticus, and some Christians never, ever read the entire book of Leviticus. Well, the logical question at this point is, why did God include Leviticus in His Word, this book of details about the ancient Jewish offerings and feasts and dietary laws? Well, there are a number of answers to this good question. Let me list three. Number one, God is a God of details when it comes to the way of worship. You don't worship the one true God just any way you so choose, then or today. Number two, God is holy and serious about sin. Acceptance of the worshiper was only by blood atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there was and is no forgiveness of sin, because death is the penalty of sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And number three, all the details of Leviticus lay the foundation and look forward to the coming of Christ. The shed blood of the animal sacrifices pointed forward to the coming Lamb of God, who would shed His blood for the sins of the world. And the Jewish feasts were all prophetic of the program of the coming Messiah. There is no doubt that a spiritual picture of Christ emerges from the book of Leviticus, but it is like an etching on metal. When you're up close to the etching, all you see are the scattered high points of metal. But when you step back from the etching, you see the picture that the artist intended. In a similar way, when we are reading through many of the details in the book of Leviticus, it is hard to see Christ, but step back a little, and we see how all of these details together form a wonderful picture of the Jewish Messiah and Savior of mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last chapter of Exodus, the tabernacle was set up at Mount Sinai, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now here in chapter 1 of Leviticus, the Lord speaks to Moses from his tent of meeting and gives instructions about the various offerings and the way of worship for Israel. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first chapter of Leviticus. Doctrinal point number one, the burnt offering was a voluntary sacrifice, totally consumed on the altar. The burnt offering was a voluntary sacrifice, totally consumed on the altar. The burnt offering was a voluntary offering for the individual Israelite. It was a required sacrifice for the nation to be offered every morning and every evening as the continual burnt offering. In addition, burnt offerings were required by the nation on every Sabbath day and on the first day of every month and on the feast days. Read Numbers chapters 28 and 29 in this connection. But for the individual worshiper, the burnt offering was a voluntary sacrifice. Verse 3, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will. In fact, the first three offerings were voluntary offerings, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. Only the last two offerings, the sin offering and the trespass offering, were required sacrifices for the individual Israelite to be offered in reference to sins committed. The other significant feature about the burnt offering was that it was totally consumed on the altar. It symbolized the worshiper's complete and total dedication to God. Verses 8 and 9. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Only the skin or hide of the animal was not consumed. According to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 8, the skin of the sacrifice was given to the priest. In the case of the other offerings, parts of the sacrifice were given to the priests or the worshipers as food. Now, laying your hand on the animal as it was killed and then having the blood sprinkled around the altar of sacrifice conveyed the idea of substitution and also the fact that death and the shedding of blood were required for the atonement and covering of sin. The washing of the inward parts of the sacrifice in verse 9 and verse 13, was probably meant to emphasize the necessity for internal purity. We see that the burnt offering could be a bull or male sheep or goat or even inexpensive birds like turtle doves or young pigeons. Thus, poor people could still afford to bring a burnt offering to the Lord. Remember, Mary and Joseph made use of this law when the Lord Jesus was presented at the temple as a baby. See Luke chapter 2, verse 24. So doctrinal point number one was the burnt offering was a voluntary sacrifice totally consumed on the altar. Doctrinal point number two, the burnt offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a life of total commitment. The burnt offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a life of total commitment. We see the spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ emerge as we look at the details of the burnt offering. The sacrifice was to be a male without defect, verses 3 and 10. This certainly portrays the perfect life of Christ, the sinless sacrifice who died for our sins. The washing of the inward parts of the sacrifice, verses 9 and 13, probably emphasizes internal purity, as we mentioned. The turtle doves or pigeons were normally associated with poverty and add to the picture of our Lord's humble and poor status in life. The Lord Jesus became poor so that we might become rich, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. The fact that the burnt offering was voluntary emphasizes in the spiritual picture that the Lord gave his life as a sacrifice. He said in John chapter 10, verse 18, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." John chapter 10, verse 18. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Lord said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, we read that Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. Hebrews 9, 14. And in the Messianic Psalm 40, verse 8, we read, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Psalm 40, verse 8. So we see that our Lord's sacrifice was voluntary. He gave his life for us. The Lord's life of total commitment to the will of the Father, even to death on a Roman cross, is clearly conveyed in the total consumption of the burnt offering on the altar of sacrifice. A life poured out in total commitment. The burnt offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a life of total commitment. Now, what about practical application from Leviticus chapter 1? Present your life as a burnt offering to the Lord. Present your life as a burnt offering to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12, 1. The emphasis in this verse is on presenting your body by an act of your will to the Lord as a sacrifice. This is not salvation. This is total commitment, and it is not automatic. The question is, have we done it? Have you come to that place in your life as a committed believer where you have, by an act of your will, given your life completely to the Lord? Nothing held back. You don't have to in order to get to heaven. This is not salvation. This is sacrifice. Salvation is trusting in the Lord because he died on the cross for your sins. That's salvation. But what we have in Romans 12, 1 is commitment as a disciple, even to the point of total commitment and presenting your life as a burnt offering to the Lord. This is sacrifice. The burnt offering was one of the sweet savor or sweet aroma offerings. Now, if you've ever smelled a burning sacrifice, you would not call it sweet savor or sweet aroma. But the burnt offering was a sweet aroma to the Lord, to God. In the same way, a life poured out for the Lord may not look or smell pleasing to the world. In fact, the world generally ridicules and mocks the totally committed Christian. But it is a sweet aroma to the Lord. It is a holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Romans 12:1. Present your life as a burnt offering to the Lord.